And, you know, you have to learn. You have to grow. You have to receive the truth of God's word. Otherwise, you'll be doing like many do. Now, mind you, with her, her mindset and mentality was a dollar was enough and the offering. And I've been in the Lord for 32 years now, walking with him truly. Prior to that, I was raised up in the church, and the church that I was raised up in, and you're talking about, you know, I'm 57. I'll be 57 in June. When I was a teenager and younger, 8 years old and up, you know, it was a big thing to give a dollar. And even when I got older and got saved, going back to one of the same churches that I was raised up in, you know, you saw people and they would be lined up. You have all the ushers. The ushers would be lined up getting ready to give their offering. And all of them would have $1. And they'd have it out there like flashing like, I'm giving a dollar. And I'm like, man, by this time I've learned and I've grown in the Lord. And it's like God expects the tithe. And I know good and well those people made more than $10 in that week. Amen. But they're bragging and boasting about $1. So when I got saved, I had that $1 concept. And I came to church with that mindset that the preacher's using the money, abusing the money, because that a situation happened with my mother where she got burned by a preacher. And so that was the mindset and mentality. They just take the money and they abuse it. But the day that I went back to church, I went to this church where the pastor taught the word of God. And so I'm sitting there in the seat. He's sharing about giving, and by this time, I got my dollar out, and I'm ready. You know, it's like, praise God, I'm right in with the flow of the crowd. And he says, some of you out there, it's like, you think, you know, the preacher's just going to do this and that with the money, or, you know, the preacher's just going to abuse the money. And he said, you know what, that's really... He didn't say it in these exact terms. It's been so long. He just said, that's really none of your business. That's the interpretation of it. But what he said, they're going to be held accountable before God. But you still have to be responsible to give God what he says give. And so it made perfect sense with me. And so I put that $1 back in my pocket, and I took out 20. Praise God. Hallelujah, right there on the spot. It was not a hard heart. And then as I grew, I learned about God expected the tithe and the offering. And so I started increasing more, but I started giving off of my net and not the gross until they appointed me over finances. And in over being over the finances, I saw the givings of, we called her Mother Renfro. She's the mother of the church, if you will, oldest one in the congregation. And I saw what she was giving on a weekly basis, and it put my offerings to shame. We had dual income, two incomes, and still weren't matching what she was doing, and she's living on a fixed income. And it gripped my heart, and I said, from this point on, I will give off of the gross, praise God, and not off of my net, if you will. But it's a growing thing. You start learning as the truth is revealed to you, don't resist the truth. Submit to the truth. The truth sets you free, praise God. The truth will make you free. It'll take that bondage off of you. You won't be so mad and angry when, you know, the preacher gets up and starts talking about money, thinking that, oh, that's all they want is your money. No, we want to honor God the way God says he delights in being honored. And so Sister Gabby was sharing with us that she was doing the taxes and all, and that her parents are able to write her off still. So she must be still a little baby, praise God. But they got the benefit of her giving. Because they looked at what she gave. And her, for where she's at, she's like, and it wasn't like it was a whole lot of money, but to them it was. It's like, you gave that much? Oh, praise God. This man-made stuff can't handle the anointing. It's just too much for us. We're about to melt on your face. But anyways, they saw her giving. I can't wait till they see this year's giving. Praise God. She's like, yeah, Because they're going to be like, whoa. But she started teaching her parents about tithing. And she shared some things that I'm not at liberty to share, but it was such a blessing to hear that come from her. We had a good conversation yesterday. She even asked me, Pastor, what do you think about the election and all? And I'm like, praise God. That's like right up, you know, praise God. Let's go. Let's run. How old are you, Gabby? 22. I learned a lot about her yesterday at the age of 22. I'm like, praise God. Oh. And as I told them, God has saved the best for last. You're the cream de la cream, the cream of the crop for this great harvest that God is about to bring in. So to God be the glory. We're so thankful and so blessed to have you here. Amen? All right, we still have to have communion. And this has been an non-traditional day today. We just yielded and gave way to the Holy Ghost. And it's not like we don't have word because I got a whole sermon for you. But what I will bring to your attention is in reading your bulletin, you know, take the bulletin with you, go over that post, go over the things that are written in there so that you're up to date and you're on point with where the ministry is and where we're going. But do give attention to the post. I was putting it together yesterday, and as I was putting it together, I'm typing, and then as the thoughts, the anointing is flowing and all, then something comes up in my spirit, and then I respond to that something, and then that something leads me to something I never knew. And that's about that song called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Some of you probably know the history of it, but I never knew the history behind that song. These are called old hymnals. These are stuff that, you know, this generation would know very little about, if you will. These old hymnals carry weight, authority, and power with it. Because when you trace back the history, you see what the people went through and how these words actually came about. And so when I looked, you know, it came to me and it's like, man, let me look up the lyrics because I wanted to know all of the lyrics to make sure what's in my spirit is correct. And in the process of looking it up, it showed where it goes to the person who coined those words and how the song came about. And it was someone who was in the northeast part of India who had he and his family recently received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior through the Welsh, I believe it was part of the Welsh revival. And in their giving their lives to Jesus, they came under threat by the leader of the village. And so the leader of the village comes to them and confronts them and says to them that, you know, you have to renounce Christianity. And he says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's in your post. It's even yellow lighted. Draw your attention immediately to it. And so I have to do it justice, I have to read it. What they had on Wikipedia. I don't believe everything that's on Wikipedia, but I believe this to be true. So the lyrics are based on the last words of a man of Assam, Northeast India. I did say India, didn't I? Okay, amen. We, Deacon Aquino and Deacon Patton, and I had the privilege of going to India in 2000. And some of you have already heard that. It was a great time. Went from 8 meetings to 18 meetings, something like that. And we preached from the time we hit the ground going in to where we left coming home, nonstop. To God be the glory. Up early in the morning riding on a motorcycle in India with cows and stuff on the road and calves and a whole lot of people. I mean, you just, it's there's nothing like India. Maybe China with so many people. The lyrics are based on the last words of a man in Assam, Northeast India, who along with his family was converted to Christianity in the middle of the 19th century through the efforts of a Welsh missionary. Called to renounce his faith by the village chief, the convert declared, I have decided to follow Jesus. In response to threats to his family, he continued, though no one joins me, still I will follow. Oh, it just gives life to those words. Some of you probably never sang that song before. We might get a chance and an opportunity. We have to work on Deacon Aquino. Deacon Aquino, you got to go way back. Deacon Aquino was like, huh? I've decided to follow. But I do follow Jesus. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. His wife was killed, and he was executed while singing, the cross before me, the world behind me. This display of faith is reported to have led to the conversion of the chief and others in the village. Isn't that something? What a powerful story behind. And that's the power of those hymnals and how they came about. To God be all the glory. And so, you know, eat what's here. The theme, the title for this is Anointed, Betrayed, and then Forsaken. And, you know, when you look at it as a believer's life, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive an unction. We receive an anointing from the Holy One. And that unction is to teach us the truth and that we would know the truth, if you will. But then, as Benny Hinn said, you receive also that anointing for ministry. And there is an anointing for ministry. You shall lay hands on the sick shall recover, you shall cast out devils, dot, dot, dot. But then there's a third level of the anointing, and we haven't reached that yet. But it is a place where very few tap into. Very few. Because of the cost. Yes, Jesus paid it all to him we owe. But still, to go deeper into the anointing of God, it will cost you everything, but it will be well worth everything that you give up. That's what Jesus tried to teach the rich young ruler. He's trying to teach him that wealth is not all that satisfies. That's why he told him, go. Trembling. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor. And he was heartbroken because he had a lot of wealth. And the disciples were like, wow, man, Jesus. So the guy went away sad and sorrowful. Why? Because he had a lot of possessions. And Jesus says, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. There's a story even behind the camel going through the eye of the needle, because in Israel, they have these kind of like gates that are shaped like a keyhole. And on the Sabbath, all work was supposed to cease. This is how it was back in biblical days. And so what they would do if they would be coming in late on the Sabbath, they couldn't just come through the main gate because the main gate was shut. But what they would have to do is come through one of the gates or one of the entrances that was like a key, and the camel would have to crouch down and try and crawl through this hole in order to get in, if you will. But Jesus says it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. They're like, well, who can be saved? Man, if the rich people can't be saved, I mean, we thought they were saved. That's why they had so much wealth, because they're saved. They're saved. They gotta be loaded. Abraham was wealthy. David was wealthy. Solomon was the richest man on the earth. You know, and they were blessed by God. So, and Jesus says to them, it's hard because they trust in deceitful riches. And you can't trust in riches. And you can't serve mammon and serve God too. Money is not your master. That's why God can say, bring all the tithes. And you say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Is that all you want? That's all I'm requiring right now. Just bring the tithe. And then three times out of the year, bring a special offering. Celebrate my holy days, if you will. Okay, with that being said, if I open that up, we're here till 2 o'clock in the morning. No, not necessarily. I'm being facetious. But we have evening service. What we are going to do is we're going to have communion for those of you in particular who won't be coming back tonight. Tonight we have a service, whether we're going to do praise and worship, whether we're going to pray, whether we're going to lay hands and, you know, anoint for healing, I don't know. We're going to have a blessed time, I do know that. But the day has gone by, and God has been glorified, and we just want to honor him with these few moments we have remaining in Jesus' name. So I would ask you this, especially, do we have any first-time guests today? Anyone here for the very first time? Okay, everyone has been here before. All right. How's everyone? Good, good. Spirit charged. Glad you came. Amen. Okay. Now, if you're coming back tonight, we can have communion tonight. If you're not coming back tonight, if you can make your way to the front, like two rows, and if everybody's not coming back tonight, then just stay where you are, and we'll just serve you. But we do want to go ahead and give you the opportunity to receive communion. This is the first Sunday, and we normally have communion on the first Sunday. We also, you know, give you the liberty and freedom to do it on a daily basis if you so choose. Because Jesus says, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. Some do it once a month. Some may not even do it at all. Some may do it on Easter and Christmas. Just make sure you're doing it in remembrance of the Lord. Amen? All right. So, gentlemen, if you would go ahead and wait on the people by serving them communion.